we're continuing our series on how to build our spirit. So this is part two. If you need a Bible, raise your hand and one of our ushers will make sure you get one. Jude only has one chapter, and so that's what we're going to read today. So it's verse 20. Jude is just before the book of Revelation, if you're having a hard time finding it. So Jude, verse 20. Let's read this. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. Let me read verse 20 again. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for your trust in us, God, to care for our children. Lord, they are a blessing from the Lord, God. We pray, God, for all the families that we've dedicated before you, that they would continue to grow, God, that the sons and daughters would be raised up, God, in their house and in this house, Lord, and that you would use them powerfully, God. And so now, Lord, we come to you in your word. We ask that you come speak to us, God. Lord, to that end, we ask you right now to release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying, each one of us, individually and corporately as a body. I humble myself and ask that you use me to preach your prophetic word with power and authority. Help me, Lord, not just to convey your words, God, but convey your heart. Lord, we thank you, Lord. We love you in this place, God. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. I'm sorry, I still have this cough. It's like been a month now, so if you guys have any good ideas on how to get rid of it, please let me know. We've been praying, but we're open to other ideas now as well. That's not what I meant. We're always praying. God uses all things. Now, last week, we started kind of a little mini thing on how to build up our spirit. So you remember I taught you a prayer last week? Do you guys remember by heart now? All right, so let me see. Let me see if you remember by heart. Turn to your neighbor and say the prayer to them. Now, if you weren't here, don't worry. I'll give them a moment to do that, and then all right, so if you weren't here, turn to your neighbor, and just, it's a prayer. Say, I bless your spirit to connect to Holy Spirit and lead your body and your soul. So I bless your spirit to connect to Holy Spirit and lead your body and soul. In Jesus' name. Go ahead, say that to your neighbor. So in that similar vein idea, we talked about a prayer of blessing our spirit. Remember last week we talked about spirit, soul, body, soul being mind, will, emotions, and kind of the dichotomy of those, but also the oneness of those things as well. And so today, I want to go a little further and not just praying for your spirit, but I want to teach you to pray with your spirit. Particularly what's known in the scriptures is called praying in the spirit. And so in our, in our vernacular, we would just simply call that speaking in tongues. And I know when I say that there's already some uncomfortableness, especially if you grew up in an evangelical church or very conservative church. And maybe you might have never even heard a message on this topic. But I just want to unpack the scriptures for you. And I want to suggest to you, if you come from a tradition that maybe is unaware or maybe even against our family, my parents, I should say, not so much me because I didn't really go to church when I was little. But when my parents started going to church, they started going to a particular denomination, and they were taught there that you were not supposed to do that. In fact, there was actually some strong language from some of their leaders, and they considered that, they said phrases like, that's vomit from hell and whatnot. Obviously, that's really strong language in that regard. But I want to unpack this for us a little bit. And so if you come from that kind of tradition, I just want to just invite you to suspend your judgment for about 45 minutes. And then make a decision afterwards as we unpack the scriptures for us a little bit today. And this is basically my message is building our spirit, but the subtitle of this is why I, and I'm going to just share my life, why I pray in the spirit, or why I pray in my prayer language, or why I pray in tongues. I don't really want to use that statement, pray in tongues, because it's so loaded. And so I'd rather just use the statement why I pray in the spirit or pray in my prayer language in that regard. Now, we've done series over the years, particularly on this topic. And the last one I did, I actually went and archived the sermons. And the last time was in 2012. And I did a series of messages. And remember, afterwards, I asked you to come up, and we're going to pray for you. But I told you, just wait until we come to the last message, because I want to do a series, fill you up with information and revelation, and then we'll come and have a time of prayer. So we did that. There's actually a brother of ours who had actually moved to China, and he was listening to the messages. This is crazy. He was listening to the messages, and he was so hungered, this experience of having his prayer language. And so as we're going through it, but I said, you know, come to the front of the church, and he's like, man, you know, I'm in China. I can't come up to the front of the church. And he was really, I wish I could be there. And so for whatever reason, he just felt the unction, and he just felt like the Lord said, touch the computer screen. Now, I know that sounds really crazy. So he touched the screen. And you know, I mean, again, thousands of miles away, he touches a screen, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit comes upon him, and he starts speaking a new language. I mean, it's crazy. God can use computer screen. I mean, it's just nuts when you think about these things. And so all to say, there's a lot of power that's there. So let me go through this. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6:18, Paul is writing to the church, and he says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. Pray at all times in the Spirit. One of the foremost Pauline scholars, in other words, a person familiar with the writings of the Apostle Paul, one of the foremost scholars in the world is a professor named Dr. Gordon Fee. And if you're familiar, you probably have read some of his books if you're into the Bible. He wrote a landmark book called How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth, and many other titles similarly. So a very respected scholar. And this is Fee writing his commentary on Ephesians 6:18. This is what he says. He says, contrary to contemporary thought, those who read this in Paul's day had no doubt in their mind that he was talking about speaking in tongues. He says, contrary to contemporary thought, in other words, a lot of people have different interpretations. Contrary to contemporary thought, those who read this in Paul's day had no doubt in their mind that he was talking about speaking in tongues. Now, there are so many misconceptions about praying in the Spirit. I remember years ago, I went to a retreat. And the speaker was from New York, and he was just relaying kind of his first experience dealing with his prayer language, and the first time he heard it, he just thought it was gibberish, and so he just thought basically, you know, some dude stuck his tongue out and just kind of wagging his tongue, and that was the gift that you had, which obviously we know is not true. I was at another meeting, and I was told by one of the leaders that all I had to do is say hallelujah 10 times really fast. And if I said it really fast, boom, it would happen. Well, we know that's not true either. And you know the old, Japanese, it sounds kind of like, you know, I bought a Honda, should I bought a Yamaha. If you just keep saying that fast a lot of times, but that's not true either. I don't know if you guys caught that. I bought a Honda, should I bought a Yamaha. Oh, now you got it, okay? So, let me read you the, some of you guys are still getting it, it's okay, it's early in the morning, I know, but let me just share, this is one of my favorite quotes. This is Teilhard Chardin. He was a French Jesuit priest, and he was a philosopher, and he said this. He says, we are not human beings having a temporary spiritual experience. He says we are spiritual beings having a temporary human experience. So we are not human beings having a temporary spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a temporary human experience. And as spiritual beings, once in a while, God allows me to participate in something that's outside of my realm. As a spiritual being, every once in a while, God sets me in a place that's beyond time, that's beyond space, that's beyond language, that's beyond understanding. He sets me in a place where I step into the invisible, where I can step into the supernatural. It's a language. He calls it praying in the Spirit. With all prayer and petition, at all times pray in the Spirit. James Joyce, he talks about this. He talks about the ineluctable modalities of the visible. And all that means is it's the pull to experience something visible. And I say what this is as spiritual beings, what we're participating is the ineluctable modalities of the invisible. That we get to step into something that's totally beyond ourselves. Now, you know, I don't know what it is, but I know the Lord invites me to do it. As spiritual beings, God gives us a way of communicating with Him through the Holy Spirit that taps into the eternal and transcends who we are, transcends what's going on around us, and it's a direct line of communication to the Father. So, simple introduction. I have just five simple points today, and simply all under the guise of the heading of why I pray in the Spirit. Why me as your pastor, why I do this regularly. I'm talking about every single day, why I give myself to a personal, private prayer language. One, this is really simple. Number one, Jesus said I would. Actually, we just amen, drop the mic, we can just close the service. That pretty much does it right there. Jesus said, He said that we would as a church. Think about this. Who was the first person in the New Testament that mentioned speaking in tongues? Who was it? Was it Paul? Was it Timothy? Was it Peter? No, it was Jesus. In Mark 16:17, Jesus says, "And these signs shall accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons, and they will speak with new tongues." It was Jesus' idea. Now, if you have a problem with speaking in tongues, praying in the Spirit, I think you have a problem with Jesus. He said that this is something that we would do. He prophesied this to the church, particularly when Pentecost happens. Now, it's amazing. So Jesus is the first mention of it. Now, when it happens, it's remarkable the significance of that. The profound simplicity and crystal clarity of this fact says something about the Father's view of the spiritual language. Think about this. The church began speaking with tongues the same day it came into being. When the church was established, it was ushered in through their spiritual language. That's a fact that's worthy of a special place in our heart's understanding. Seeing our Heavenly Father, the living, loving God Himself, was the sole designer and sovereign instigator of Pentecost events. It was His glorious idea. And when He started the church, it was this gift that came up in front of it. Let me read you a quote by Jack Hayford. He's a very renowned pastor in the United States. Jack Hayford, he says this, "The Father certainly wouldn't have allowed anything unworthy, unlovely, or unloving to accidentally happen. Speaking with tongues didn't just crowd in on its own, as though man forced an arbitrary Johnny-come-lately sign upon the church's birth and into the church's origins. Neither was the spiritual language an embarrassing surprise to the Almighty. Rather, the supernatural gift of language was given for holy and wholesome purposes, and He allowed it because He created it, and He completely endorses it." The spiritual language, it was God's idea, and Jesus prophesied that the church would do it. That's number one. Number two, we'll get into some text. Turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Paul, the apostle, endorses it. Paul, the apostle, endorses it. We start at at verse 1 of chapter 14 in 1 Corinthians. He says, pursue love, yet earnestly desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Now think about this. Pursue love, yet desire earnestly. I want to suggest to you language. It says desire earnestly the spiritual. Actually, gifts is not written in there. So probably better translation is pursue love, but yet desire earnestly the spiritual. Now, we understand in Greek grammar, in the sentence structure, this is what, again, we call a present tense imperative. Imperative meaning a command. Present tense meaning something that's ongoing, something that's continually happening. And so what Paul is telling the church in Corinth, even though they're very fleshly, they're very worldly, they're using the gifts for personal gain and all that, even though all that's happening, he still says, keep desiring earnestly the spiritual, especially certain gifts of the Spirit. That's what he gets in this place. Now, Paul himself, like I said, he endorses it. In verse 18 of this chapter, he says, I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you. And so Paul is expressing his continual practice of using his prayer language. Notice, again, the grammar, the sentence structure. He says, he didn't say that I spoke in tongues. No, he says, I speak in tongues more than all of you. It's an action that's continuing to happen in his life. In verse 2, now 1 Corinthians 14, 2. Again, the idea Paul endorses this. Verse 2, he says, for one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands, but in his spirit or by the spirit, he speaks mysteries. He speaks mysteries. Now, there's a lot of confusion centered on the fact that we were unable to understand what's being said. Verse 14 in this chapter says, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. And you would think, well, remember Paul, one of the most educated men of his time, brilliant scholar? Remember Paul in Acts 17, he could go toe-to-toe with the Athenian philosophers and scholars and just overwhelm them with his knowledge. He sits up there and he's talking to these Athenian philosophers in Mars Hill, and he quotes two minor Greek poets. And I mean, it's just amazing, the skill. It's kind of like if you ever listen to Ravi Zacharias, you know, and the Q&A and the thing that comes out of his mouth, and I was like, this must be the smartest guy in the world. Things that happened. That was kind of like what Paul was like, and even to another extreme. And Paul, in his great wisdom and intellect, he says, when I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. How do you build up your spirit? When I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So you would think that Paul would say, oh, because your mind is unfruitful, the same one that say in Romans 12 that said renew your mind, that elevates knowledge and understanding and study, you would think that maybe he's saying, okay, let's move on. But look how he concludes that thought. Turn to verse 15. So I'll read 14 again. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. 15, then he answers himself, what is the outcome then? In other words, what shall I do? What will happen because of this? He says, I shall pray with the spirit, and I shall pray with the mind also. In other words, I'll pray in tongues, but I'll also pray in Greek, so everyone else can understand me. Greek meaning the language that I was using at the time. I shall sing in the spirit, and I shall also sing with my mind. In other words, I'll sing through words that are unintelligible, but I also sing songs that I know, like we did today at service. Paul believed, I'll pray with the spirit. In other words, I'll pray in tongues, and I will pray in the mind. I will pray in Greek so that others who speak and understand Greek will can profit from what I say. Clearly, Paul believed that a spiritual experience that was beyond the grasp of his mind was yet profoundly profitable. Paul believed that it wasn't absolutely necessary for an experience to be rationally cognitive for it to be spiritually beneficial and glorifying to God. In other words, it's okay if your mind doesn't understand. It's absolutely okay. How do I know? Because Paul says it's okay. Paul continues and he says, I'll pray in the spirit, I'll pray in the natural. I'll pray in my known language. I'll sing in the spirit, I'll sing in the natural, in my known language. In fact, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you guys that are here. Again, remember, Paul is a brilliant man. His mind was brilliant. This guy was a man whose incomparable mind and power of logical augmentation rendered helpless his theological opponents. This is the guy that wrote the book of Romans. I mean, just one of the most fascinating bits of theology in all of the Bible. this is a man who's known as in history as the greatest theologian outside of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. This logical, reasonable, highly educated apostle Paul prayed in tongues more than anyone. And he said it's beneficial, even though your mind is not beneficial. Amen? He completely endorses it. Number three, let me make a stronger point about Paul here. Paul, actually, you have to catch this. Paul forbids forbidding it. Turn to your neighbors. Make sure you understand this. Turn to your neighbors. Say, hey, good looking. Paul forbids forbidding it. Again, go down to verse 39. So now he's concluding this whole thought. If you get an idea, let me share how the 1 Corinthians is laid up. Paul is basically answering questions. You can tell because he uses this tagline in the beginning of a new thought. He says, now concerning the resurrection, now concerning those things, the idols, now concerning spiritual gifts. And that's how he goes on. So he now says, that's 12, 13, and 14. He concludes now with verse 39. He's concluding this thought, this basically answer to a question. And listen, look at how he concludes this. He says, 39, therefore, my brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid to speak in tongues. Desire earnestly to prophesy. Again, going back to the beginning of 14:1. And do not forbid to speak in tongues. Again, the way it's written Greek is what we call present tense imperative. In other words, command as an action that's ongoing. What Paul is saying here, he's actually saying, listen, church, leaders, you are forbidding people to speak in tongues. You stop doing that, and you keep stop doing that. You guys understand? You are forbidding people to pray in the Spirit. Cut it out. Quit stopping people from doing that, and you keep cutting it out. In other words, don't prevent them from doing it. It's a present tense movement that is happening. Scholars say that the construction of this verse is designed to halt an action that is in progress. So that when someone says Paul is against speaking in tongues, Paul ends up saying, whatever you get out of this, he shares the whole thing, whatever you get out of this, I want you to know, if you've been telling people to stop praying in the Spirit, you better cut it out, and you better keep cutting it out, because he values this. Paul forbids forbidding it. I know, and I'm not here to be polemic or to be controversial or anything that way, but if you just simply take the simple reading of the Scriptures, if you have ever been told in your life that you are forbidden to pray in tongues, I want to suggest to you, I don't care if that's a pastor, an apostle, some renowned leader, they're committing biblical error. Paul is very clear in his language. He says, don't forbid people to pray in their own language. It's very simple. Paul forbids forbidding it. Amen? Four, this it'll align with what we're doing here as a church, particularly this theme of building the house and building ourselves up. Building our spirit. Why do I pray in the Spirit? Because it builds my spirit. I honestly don't know anything as powerful as praying in the Spirit to build my own spirit. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4, he says, one who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. The word edify meaning to build up. Praying in the Spirit builds up myself. And then some people say, that's very selfish. How can you be so selfish? You're only thinking about yourself. Well, do you consider people selfish when they eat food and they feed their body? Of course not. Why do we get all high and mighty and criticize people when they're building up and feeding their spirit? See how it just doesn't make sense in that regard. And so he says, one who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Praying in the spirit builds up ourselves. It builds myself up. 1 Corinthians 14:14, we read that a little bit. He says, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. My spirit prays. It's something that's happening. Now, there's different interpretations. It could be my human spirit. It could be the Holy Spirit. It could be a combination of both of those things together. And I buy all of that. They all make sense to me in that regard. Jude 20 that we read to start the service, Jude verse 20, is about you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, we know how to build up our bodies. We talked about that last week. You work out. I hope you guys worked out this week at some point. Did some push-ups, sit-ups, jog, ran. It's good for your body. Get some sleep. That's good for you. That's how you build your body up. It's good for these things. Eat right. Eat healthy. Those are all good things to build our bodies. How do we build our spirit? By praying in the Spirit. Beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. It builds my spirit. And the last one, number five. I want to do this quite quickly. Not quickly, but a little shortly, because the full lessons are actually online. You can go back to it. But we also want to pray for people after service today. So I want to give time for that. The last one, number five, why do I pray in the Spirit? And this is really probably the best answer for me personally. And this is probably the most honest answer personally. It's really simply this, because I really don't know how to pray. At the end of the day, if I'm going to be really honest about myself, I really don't know how to pray. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, Paul again writes, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. We don't know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groaning too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Moans and groans too deep for words. In other words, not a discernible phraseology. Honest to goodness, bottom line, I pray in tongues, I pray in the Spirit, not because I've arrived spiritually, not because it's some spiritual merit badge or I'm spiritually mature. I pray in the Spirit all the time, all the time. I'm not as much as Paul, because he says he does it more than anyone else. I pray all the time, because the simple reality, I know that I'm weak. I know that I don't know what to pray. I mean, think about this. Put yourself in my shoes, just for a moment, okay? Sympathize with me. Put yourself in my shoes. I have a family. Now, don't feel sorry for me. That's not my point, because I love everything that's happening in my life. I have a family, four kids. We have four churches, part of our church family in Beijing, here, Indonesian Fellowship, SPIN, Hong Kong, Singapore. Leaders that I connect with, not only here at church, but also around the world. And people are constantly asking for my advice. I'm covering the needs of this church family, not just this church, but all the other churches. It's a lot of responsibility. I'm not that smart to do all these things. I'm not that gifted to do all these things. I'm weak. At the end of the day, brothers and sisters, praying the Spirit is the language of weakness. See, the charismatic church, the Pentecostal church, we've erred in this way. We have elevated spiritual gifts to such a point that it far surpasses the use of it in many ways. We've caused spiritual gifts to be a kind of a spiritual merit badge. In other words, if you're mature, if you're brilliant, if you're dedicated, if you're smart, okay, God will give you this gift. But see, I mean, you know, I studied a little bit when I was in seminary. And I know that the word gift is the word in Greek, charis. And under the word chariz, the word give is actually the same exact word that's used for the word grace. When he says the gospel is the grace of God. And so I know enough, you know, I studied a little bit, so I know grace means I get something that I don't deserve. The spiritual gift is the same way. It is foolish for us to pat ourselves on the back and say, I'm spiritually mature. That's why God gave me this gift. God gives gifts because we're weak. I pray in the Spirit because I don't know how to pray. It's a language of weakness. It's the language that allows me to go beyond myself, go beyond my abilities. I don't know how to pray. I don't have my act together. And I realize, oh my goodness, I need power from on high. And God says, you want it? I say, yeah. He says, open your mouth. And out comes what may be unintelligible to our mind, but in the Spirit, out comes beauty. Out comes a language that connects with God in such a precise way that now we start praying the very things that are the will of God instead of my own will. I pray in tongues because I know that I'm weak, so that God gives me His grace. And through His grace, He gives me a supernatural language that helps me to pray. Honest to goodness, most times I don't know how to pray. But when I pray in the Spirit, I'm praying God's will. Guaranteed, it's a done deal. And how do we do that? All He says is open your mouth. Just open your mouth. Jesus prophesied it. Paul endorses it. Paul actually forbids people from forbidding it to happen. It builds us up. It builds up our spirit. And I'm sure there's many of you here that you would like to pray better. Anyone in this room? Just honest, like, I would like to pray better. I would like to pray God's will all the time. I'm pretty nervous about you guys that are not raising your hand today. I feel like, I don't know if you know, I mean, you don't have to do it now, it's okay. But, you know, it troubles me a little bit that not just the responsiveness, but just the, sorry, I'm just going to let that go today. It's my gesture of kindness to the body today. We all want to pray more accurately. We all understand the limitations of our prayer life. The Lord says, you can step into it. He says, I wish that you would all pray in tongues, Paul says. So let's close our eyes. Invite the worship team to come. Oh, I got one. We want to pray for you today. We want to ask the Holy Spirit to fill you up like we sang earlier, but that God would equip you in your prayer life. God would equip you to build up your spirit before the Lord. So like I said, you can suspend your judgment until now. Search the scriptures. Read what Paul says about this incredible tool that he gives us. And if you're open today, if you're willing and say, you know, Peace Sam, kind of makes sense. I've never done it before. I'm a little scared of it. I'm a little nervous, if I'm going to be honest. But I'd like to. I'd like to have the opportunity of receiving my personal prayer language. And if that's where you're at, I just want you to come up to the front. And just be real simple. Just close your eyes. Open your hands. You know, like you're receiving a gift from the Father. And you don't have to pray. You know, don't say anything. You know, we have this saying in our church, you know, when you're kissing someone, you don't talk. You just enjoy. And so you just let the Lord kiss you today. And then as faith wells up, just let it flow out of us. No pressure, right? I mean, no... That's where you're at. Worship team is going to lead us. I just want you to come. We have some leaders. We want to pray for you. We're going to lay hands on you, as the Bible tells us. And we're going to pray that you would operate in your prayer language. And it's an act of faith. You need to say something. That's where faith rises in among us. So come, don't do it from your seat. Come up to the front. Just make some space here at the altar. And just simply open your hands and just receive from the Lord. But God's heart, God's desire to equip all of us before Him. Okay, come, close your eyes. And just receive from the Father. House church leaders and staff and other leaders, I want you to come. I want you to pray. You're His kids. Open your hands. For God gives the hands that are open. And other members of the body of Christ, and you can come as well and lay hands on our families. A lot more people than I expected. Let's pray. Just lay hands and let's just pray. Now, so people are going to come and pray for you. We just want you to just simply respond to the Lord. Get out of yourself. The first part, you guys that are here, you need to desire it. It says, desire earnestly the spiritual. That's a command. So you just need to desire it. And so, Lord, just say, Lord, I desire to pray in this way. But I desire this. And close your eyes. Just allow the Lord to allow you to step in. And we're just going to lay hands and pray. You can just lead us in a song. In a few minutes, so we'll sing together. And I'll dismiss you. We're going to come. And others that want to come, you want to come pray with somebody, you're more than welcome to do that. Especially you that have your prayer language. You operate in your faith to pray for others. Okay, Eunice, so go ahead and lead us. Lord. I'm going to recruit you guys. You guys keep praying in the front. You guys, I want to recruit you. Start praying right now. Just start praying. Just from your seat right now, just start praying for these ones here. God's touching them deeply. The Holy Spirit's moving in their heart right now. I mean, if you had my point of view, you could see the presence of God is on so many of them here. So you keep praying. This is a special moment right now. So I want you to just step into that place of intercession and just lift up your church family right now as God does a deep work in the Lord in their life. And let's keep praying. Let's keep pressing in. You guys that are here to receive, faith has to rise up. Just think of it like this. When God breathed into Abraham, He breathed, the Kabbalah, He breathed into him, and he became a living being. The spirit was awakened. What this is kind of the opposite. That spirit in you, now it's got to come out of you. And so you need to speak. I'm going to tell you what, it's not what you say, but it's the faith, it's just the air, the breath of God in you. There's a faith that releases. And so you go for it. Thank you, God. Well, let's keep... We're going to keep praying for our people. The rest, why don't we stand to our feet? Let's sing this together. And I'm gonna open up the altar. There's something special happening today. I think because we've been praying this whole week. If you just simply forget about the prayer language, all that stuff, you just want to just get a touch from the Lord, from the Holy Spirit. I just want you to come. We're going to sing. We're going to pray for you. All right? And we'll dismiss you. In fact, let me just pray over us right now. We're going to sing. I'll dismiss you. We're going to pray. And we're going to sing. If you want to come, just come. We're going to pray for you. Lord, just thank you, God. And Lord, continue to do the deep work of the Spirit in our lives, God. We're just so appreciative, God, of you coming down, Lord, and being Emmanuel, God with us, right now in this space, Lord. And so, Lord, just as you said, anyone who's hungry, God, all who are thirsty, God, to come. Any who is weary, heavy laden, to come. Anyone that needs a touch from you, God, to come. And so we thank you, Lord. And for others that need to go, Lord, we bless them, Father. We pray that they would bask in the presence of the Lord today, this whole week, God, especially as we enter into Passion Week, that we remember the cross, God. We thank you, Lord. We bless you. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forward. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You guys keep praying. If you need to go, you're dismissed. The worship team is going to lead us in a song. You want to come up to get prayer? Go ahead. Come up. We're going to pray for you.